This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today, as we have two games on Monday Night Football, two games on Tuesday, the Fantasy Football Playoffs. Not quite in the books after week one. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We got you covered with fantasy recaps of every game in the NFL on Sunday. And of course, previews of tonight's game in terms of DFS as we get to it. Davis, good to see you here on this Monday. Hopefully you had some success yesterday. I'll tell you a little bit about me, where I'm at going into these Monday and Tuesday games. But, you know, certainly expect the unexpected. That's definitely the best way to describe the first round.
You are definitely right. You know, lots of fantasy superstars just laid total eggs. I mean, last night with the Buccaneers, Gronk gets 11 targets, 2 receptions. Mike Evans gets hurt. Chris Godwin gets hurt. Leonard Fournette gets hurt. Joe Mixon had a terrible game. Ramondre Stevenson, who lots of people were excited to start, he had a horrible game on Saturday. And honestly, Jonathan Taylor was pretty close to submarining lots of fantasy teams until he had that 70-yard touchdown run to ice the game off. And not that I'm mad because I was going against Jonathan Taylor, but the right thing for him to do was to kneel. If he would have kneeled on that play, the game would have been over. So not that I'm mad at Jonathan Taylor, but maybe learn the rules of the game, Jonathan.
Yeah, I will say, interesting weekend for me. Went in as a, you know, underdog, as we talked about last week, and the San Francisco 49ers, Davis, just saving me. Jeff Wilson Jr., you know, holding on to him the entire season to finally play him for the first time yesterday. Proved huge dividends. Debo Samuel has been my MVP this season. Needless to say, I'm up 45 points going into tonight, and my opponent has Dalvin Cook and the Vikings kicker. So, you know, a high percentage chance, at least on paper, you would think, to win in advance of the second round. And now I'm getting some, you know, interesting news as far as some other guys are concerned. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. So how did you do in your fantasy football playoffs? Let us know at SportsGrid. And tag us and tell us what your score is going into tonight or tomorrow night. Let's get to our headlines, which will include some massive news for both reality and fantasy. The Buccaneers not only get shut out, but they lose Leonard Fournette, they lose Mike Evans, and they lose Chris Godwin. And Godwin, it looks like, could be out for the rest of the fantasy playoffs. That's a huge blow to fantasy teams. The Lions, how about them? They beat the Cardinals straight up as 13-point underdogs. 30-12, T.J. Watt breaks the Steelers' record in sacks in their win against the Titans as the Steelers come back to win that game. And the NHL, with all kinds of COVID issues, have suspended games, a lot of them, through the Christmas holiday. But Davis, really, you know, we'll get into the fantasy, you know, standouts and everything that happened yesterday. But Tampa Bay, I mean, the Saints are the kryptonite for Tampa Bay. That has been clear now going on, I think it feels like almost 3 years at this point. But the Buccaneers' playoff hopes, you know, basically are going to ride on getting their guys healthy for week 18 at this point, and then hoping that they can, you know, have the number one seed, I guess, going into the playoffs. I don't remember a team losing three players like this in one night.
Yeah, and I mean, the Buccaneers are still a very strong favorite to win the division. They're 3 games up on the New Orleans Saints. They play the Carolina Panthers next week. They can probably beat the Carolina Panthers with, you know, Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson. And apparently Antonio Brown is coming back to the team. If there was any doubt, he's definitely coming back now, right? Lose Chris Godwin for the rest of the season. You got to feel like he's probably coming back now. Then they get to play the New York Jets. I mean, I think they could probably win that game with Kyle Trask playing quarterback. You know, I don't even really think it matters. And then they get the Carolina Panthers at home. So, you know, the temptation on its face is to go no Godwin, no Evans, maybe no Fournette. They score 0 points against the Saints. You know, the temptation would be to think that the sky is falling in Tampa Bay, but they get basically the kindest run out, for the rest of the season. And in terms of who is going to be the one seed, the awful, 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 unforgivable loss for the Arizona Cardinals. Cannot say enough unkind things about Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, just a demonstration of why this entire time, it doesn't matter how good Kyler plays, doesn't matter how good the defense plays, everyone was waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Arizona Cardinals. The other shoe did drop. And the Packers close out the season against the Browns, who,
yep.
I mean, who knows what their COVID situation is going to be like in 6 days. Then they get the Vikings. Then they get the Lions. Probably 3-0 there. So the Packers probably going to be the number one seed again. Definitely not the rollout that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wanted. No doubt about that.
No, no doubt about that. Affecting people negatively and positively at the same time. More on that coming up a little bit later in the show. But Davis is right in a sense. The other sense that I got from watching the Lions and Cardinals yesterday was, boy, I have never seen Kyler Murray complain over and over and over again. I don't know what was going on the field yesterday, but we're going to hit on our fantasy standouts coming up next. The Detroit Lions had the number one rusher in the fantasy football playoffs yesterday, outside of Jonathan Taylor, of course, the other night. Craig Reynolds is the guy that could be one of the heroes of the fantasy football playoffs, as the Lions probably won't have the first pick in the draft anymore, but they...
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Could be helping you, go figure, in fantasy football's week 2. That's coming up next. We'll discuss that, as well as get to all of the Monday night football games tonight. We've got 2 games in action, as you heard there in the update from Alex. No Baker Mayfield tonight, so it looks like the Nick Mullen show will ride against the Raiders. That line has flipped, I think, 4 different times before last week to now. So we'll hit on that and a whole lot more. Stay on the grid. More fantasy sports today coming up next as we dive into all of the matchups. Who did what on Sunday? We'll have it for you next. Stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. The biggest upset of the NFL season, probably safe to say, was the Jaguars going to Buffalo and beating the Bills. But I would say, or actually that game was in Jacksonville, if I'm not mistaken. But the second biggest upset of the season had to be yesterday, what went down in Detroit. Not only did the Lions dominate the game, you never felt like the Cardinals even had a chance. A very bizarre outcome there. Covering the spread's no big deal, but winning outright as a almost 2-touchdown underdog, very unusual. Jared Goff, his best game of the season by far. He was 21-26, 216 passing yards, and 3 touchdowns. Of course, the story of fantasy was those of you who played Craig Reynolds. He got you 10, 11, 12 fantasy points. Who would have thought that Amon-Ra St. Brown, 8 for 90 in a touchdown. Josh Reynolds, also since he's come over to Detroit, has been a nice contributor. He had 6 catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown. And Dan Campbell, after the game yesterday, has been saying that they have been waiting for moments like this.
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, I... You know, I think that's what you're trying to get. I mean, that's what we're trying to build around here. And I do think that those guys have bought into it. And I feel like they've bought into it all year. It's been that just what gets us over the edge. What's going to get us to that point where we start figuring it out and we can keep the momentum in our favor. And so we did it today. We executed the game plan perfectly. It was a great job by our coaches, man, putting it together. And then obviously just those players, man, stepping up and just not, I mean, they don't care, you know? Like, they don't care. They don't care who we're playing. It's like, let's go. They're ready to go. And they believe they have. And shoot, man, that's all you can ask for when you, as your players, man, as a coach, is just guys who want to come back and go to work.
And they did yesterday in a big way. Now, on the side of Arizona, what in the world? This performance yesterday was just, completely off. Kyler Murray, as I mentioned in the top of the show, arguably one of the worst games I've seen him play. 23 of 41, 257 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. And after every play, this guy complaining about something. I'm wondering what Davis's thoughts are on that. Christian Kirk, 9 for 94 and a touchdown, so he came through, but otherwise nothing. A.J. Green, 4 for 64. And Zach Ertz, who I did end up playing yesterday, 13 fantasy points. Can't complain about that. Naturally, Davis, if you were in the playoffs and you started Kyler Murray, you needed some other stuff to happen in order to advance to round two. But to me, my biggest takeaway from the game is what I mentioned. It seemed like Murray was mad at his teammates. He was mad at himself. He was mad at the coaching. I don't know what was going on, but frustration is not even the word that I could use because it was happening all game long.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get on the show and kill Kyler Murray. Probably the most frustrating thing to me about this game was exactly what we were talking about on Friday. I said, look, I really hope that what Cliff Kingsbury chooses to do is getting a little bit more creative on offense and not just subbing in a guy who is not any good for DeAndre Hopkins, because there's a difference between waiting for Hopkins to get back, right? Big difference between waiting for Hopkins to get back and knowing you're not going to have him. What did Cliff do? Antoine Wesley, 85% of the snaps, 64 offensive snaps, more than AJ Green, more than Rondale, more than Isabella, more than, you know, even Chase Edmonds. And what did that do to the offense? Well, when you sub out DeAndre Hopkins, you put in a guy who is so bad. I mean, I don't know how much of this game you caught, but Wesley was like in the wrong spot. Kyler's interception was targeting Wesley. Wesley landed his feet out of bounds when he didn't even need to. He had yards and yards of space trying to score a touchdown by the pylon. Could have easily just secured it and got it in at the 1 yard line. Like it was like this guy was shaving points. And Cliff, you know, plays Rondale Moore 27% of the snaps. Guy spends a second round pick on him, won't even use him in this spot. Cliff, of course, kicks a bunch of field goals, punts a bunch in close spots. I mean, just inexcusable. I mean, if I was Steve Keim, I believe is the owner of the Arizona Cardinals, that performance would have been enough for me to get on the phone with, you know, Eric Bieniemy and Brian Daboll and these guys, because Cliff is going to be handcuffs on Kyler Murray while he's on his rookie contract. They will never win a Super Bowl with Cliff as their head coach.
Yeah, really, really tough game yesterday. Toughest one of the season. And again, it puts Green Bay ahead of Arizona in the chase for the number one seed. Green Bay clinch the division. We'll talk about them a little bit later in the show. All right, Pittsburgh took on Tennessee yesterday, and the Titans dominated for a half, and then things just went off the rails, as they have been quite a bit for Tennessee this season. Ben Roethlisberger, not much happening for him yesterday, although I'm guessing most people didn't use him in any format. 16 of 25, 148 passing yards. He did rush for a touchdown and didn't get in on the first try. Did on the second try. Deontay Johnson, just 5 catches for 38 yards and 10 rushing yards. Pat Freiermuth left with a concussion, his second one in a month. I don't think we're going to see him again, is my feeling. Chris Boswell, 4 out of 5 field goals and a 48-yarder, which was his longest. On the side of the Titans, You know, not really much happening. Julio Jones left this game again with another injury. That's another player I can't see seeing the rest of the way. Tannehill, 22-32, 152 passing yards, 18 rushing yards, one touchdown, one interception. It was a rushing touchdown. Deontay Foreman got a lot of looks. He had 109 rushing yards, two receptions, and 27 yards. Nick Westbrook back in action, 4-31. And Randy Bullock, 2-for-2 field goals. But, you know, clearly not the most scintillating game here, Davis. Overall, Pittsburgh just sort of kicked their way to some field goals and ended up getting the win. And look, even the Titans got 109 yards from Foreman. I mean, normally in a game with Derrick Henry, they probably get somewhere between 1 and 150 on average. But, you know, Tennessee's signing of Julio Jones in the offseason is proving to be one of the bigger disappointments we've seen in free agency.
Yeah, I wonder if this is actually the last we will ever see of Julio Jones. He got targeted in the end zone, looked like he pulled up light on his hamstring, got ruled out for the rest of the game. I wonder if that play of Ryan Tannehill, you know, throwing a misaimed pass into the end zone, I wonder if that's the last we'll ever see of Julio Jones. I think it might be. I think that that might be it on his career, which is very sad. Because Julio is one of those guys who, you know, never got a ton of respect because he didn't score touchdowns, right? People would always get mad that he wouldn't score touchdowns, but he led the NFL in receiving yards and yards per game for, I think, four seasons combined. So pretty incredible run. Some of our big fantasy takeaways from this game. I mean, one, if you got to the playoffs with Najee Harris, you are not having a good time this morning. Najee Harris, 12 carries for 18 yards. Two receptions for 8 yards. And then, Craig, remember we were talking about my team in the fantasy football playoffs last week.
Julio Jones.
I played against Julio Jones, so that was good, but right. Did not start Donta Foreman. I started Ramondre Stevenson and A.J. Dillon over Donta Foreman. Thank goodness that A.J. Dillon scored a touchdown because he was on pace to have a truly awful outing against the Baltimore Ravens. But we've actually talked a lot about Donta Foreman on this show, because all the way back when Henry first got injured, I was telling you and George, I actually thought he was probably the best pickup in that backfield just because I thought he might have a little bit of juice. And crazy sequence of events here in this game. On the drive where the Titans were trying to come back, he rolls his ankle, like looks awful. He the trainers like helped carry him off, and then he comes back in two plays later and he's like, all right, I'm good to go, which was wild. And I also, this is my thing, love running backs that wear single digits. The single digit numbers on the running backs, I feel like it just makes them look faster. So that's my Donta Foreman take.
Okay. James Conner is another one of those. And you know, look, Tennessee is probably going to be fine the second they get back Derrick Henry, but they are going to have to go back into the draft or go back into free agency and add a minimum of another pass catcher for Ryan Tannehill in the offseason. With A.J. Brown out and Julio Jones, they're just a shell. And Pittsburgh is going to 9-8 their way, or 8-9 their way, to the end of the season by playing defense in some games and not in some others, and not much for fantasy. But if you have Freiermuth and you can make moves for fantasy, I would not. After two concussions in a month, you usually don't see that guy for a bit. So hopefully he's okay. All right, Dolphins Jets coming up next. Stay on the grid. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. The Miami Dolphins had all kinds of COVID issues at the running back position over the last couple of weeks. Things seem to be clear and concise going into their Sunday game against the New York Jets as they activated Myles Gaskin off the COVID list, but go figure, not so much. Duke Johnson, picked up off the street, ends up being the leading rusher for the Dolphins and has a career day against the New York Jets. Let's get to our fantasy standouts for the Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, 16 of 27, 196 passing yards, 20 rushing yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. One was massive, a pick six against the Jets. But we mentioned Duke Johnson, 107 on the ground, one reception, 20 yards, and two touchdowns. And Duke Johnson never had two touchdowns in a game before. How about that? Devontae Parker, 4 receptions, 68 yards and a score. Mike Gesicki, a quiet day, 5 for 43. Duke Johnson spoke to the media after the game yesterday about his career day in the strangest of spots.
Far as the two touchdowns in the game, rushing, I don't know. It's not much to say for me. Because I know at certain times with certain teams, my role was always different. And my role was this today, but it could change tomorrow. So for me, it's just about not really looking at the stats and looking at, you know, the touchdowns and the yards, but whatever it is to win and help my team win, that's kind of what it'd be for me.
And right now, Duke Johnson probably in line to start for the Dolphins, you know, potentially another week. Let's go to our fantasy standouts from the New York Jets yesterday. Zach Wilson, sort of more of the same. It's been a struggle for him this season. He was 13 of 23, 170 passing yards, 12 rushing yards, and one touchdown. Tevin Coleman had 50 yards on the ground. Jamison Crowder, 5 for 40. Braxton Berrios, 1 reception, 26 yards, and ended up scoring a touchdown on a rush. It looked like Berrios Davis was going back to pass the ball to somebody in the end zone, but ended up running it in. But a much closer game than I anticipated. I thought the Dolphins probably would run over the Jets. They did not. New York played competitive, and they were assisted by Tua just throwing an out pattern that got picked off for a touchdown. But I know, Davis, you had Duke Johnson in all of those leagues. I don't know how many you played him in, but, you know,
I dropped him, bud.
Yeah, that guy is a fantasy football playoff hero week one.
I mean, he's going to be a hero for the rest of the time. You think after watching Myles Gaskin whelp around that backfield all year and then getting a 100-yard game and two touchdowns out of Duke Johnson, you think they're going to go back and install Myles Gaskin that quickly? I don't. I don't think that Myles Gaskin has done enough to ingratiate himself to this coaching staff. Now, I know we did have, an analogous situation to this happen last year where Gaskin was the starter. He got hurt. Savon Ahmed performed pretty well in his absence. So we'll see. You know, we'll see what ends up happening there. But I think probably Duke Johnson is going to be the lead running back for the Miami Dolphins until he gives them a reason not to. I mean, 100 yards and two touchdowns, that is far and away the best backfield performance of the season for the Miami Dolphins. And look, this has mostly been a pro Tua Tagovailoa show. He was bad. I mean, he was really, really bad against the Jets. They probably should have lost that game. He throws the pick six. But even in the first half, the Dolphins get up 17. I mean, at one point they were up 17-3. And you're feeling like, what is the deal? What is going on? Luckily, they were able to kind of put it together. Devontae Parker played pretty well, got 8 targets, 68 yards, and the touchdown. I think we were all expecting Mike Gesicki to be a little bit more involved with no Jalen Waddle. Also, you know, another thing that I thought that game proved is Jalen Waddle is super important to this offense because they're not particularly good running the ball, and Tua is not a great thrower, very similar to Jimmy Garoppolo, actually, just really not a great thrower outside of the hashes, which is why that's part of why they drafted Jalen Waddle and traded up for him. And Waddle's absence was big time felt by the Dolphins. And then on the Jets side of the ball, Michael Carter returned from his high ankle sprain, and Ty Johnson was a healthy scratch. So I think we were all like, oh, Michael Carter going to get all the touches. Split carries down the middle with Tevin Coleman, 8 carries, 50 yards for Coleman, 8 carries, 18 yards for Michael Carter, and didn't really get used in the passing game either. Two targets in the passing game, though no targets for Tevin Coleman, and another just a brutal performance from Zach Wilson, 7 sacks for 44 yards. I'm about ready to wrap up any hope that I had for Zach Wilson. I mean, he just looks lost, right? Like, every time he drops back, he just looks lost.
Yeah, no, I mean, at this point, in a game that was sort of winnable, on the line, next year will be another year. They'll probably fix some things. And, you know, no quarterback gets judged after just one season, but it doesn't look great. You're right. The optics don't look good for year one. Okay, the Buffalo Bills did their best to keep Carolina in the game, but eventually things just fell off the wheels for the Panthers. Josh Allen threw for 210 yards, 24 rushing yards, and 3 touchdowns. So if you started him yesterday, big sigh of relief. I don't know anyone that started Devin Singletary in a fantasy league yesterday. And maybe we'll start him moving forward. We'll see. 86 rushing yards, one reception, 10 yards. Gabriel Davis, a huge part of Buffalo's game plan. Another name to keep an eye on moving forward. 5 for 85 and 2 scores. Stephon Diggs bailed out with a touchdown. Also had 4 receptions for 35 yards. Of course, the story for Buffalo was sort of going against what they normally do, which is not run the ball. They gave the ball quite a bit to Devin Singletary, and Josh Allen said he's not surprised he came through.
We've known he can, but it was good to see him go out there and run hard. He ran really well today. But again, it starts with the guys up front and doing their job, and Motor did a good job of finding the holes and getting extra yards for us.
On the side of Cam Newton, pretty good fantasy day for him yesterday. Reality day, not as much. 18 of 39, 156 passing yards, 71 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, also a 2-point conversion. They lost their kicker pregame, did Carolina. Amir Abdullah, a late touchdown for him, 4 receptions, 48 yards and a score. Robbie Anderson, 3 for 29, and DJ Moore, just 6 for 48. So Buffalo gets right, Davis, a little bit in this game, but Singletary is really one that we'll have to keep an eye on because Zach Moss clearly is falling out of favor somewhat with Buffalo.
He really has. I mean, 93% of the offensive snaps yesterday for Devin Singletary, that is by far his career high. He's never, you know, in 3 years, he's never even been close to that. His previous high was 82% of the snaps. So just a huge workload for him yesterday relative to his baseline. Zach Moss was a healthy scratch. And, you know, they've kind of been trying to work Matt Breida into the offense more. He played 6 offensive snaps yesterday. So if you've been hanging on to Devin Singletary this entire time, I mean, he does to me just look like a guy who is probably going to end up being a factor in the playoffs here because, I mean, any running back that is playing right now is pretty valuable, but 22 carries, I mean, how many running backs even get 20-plus touches on a weekly basis, especially, you know, the Bills, an actual good offense, you know, Josh Allen does take away a lot of the red zone equity, but we didn't even see Singletary really get used much in the passing game yesterday. But of course, he has been. That's historically been the role that the team has used him in. So we can likely expect that to happen at some point. And I mean, look, who did the Buffalo Bills get in the Fantasy Football Championship week 17? They get the Atlanta Falcons, so about as good of a matchup as you could. I mean, they get the Jets in week 18, so maybe you'd ask them to flip-flop that if you had Singletary, but about as good of a matchup as you can ask for. Also, I thought a huge story from yesterday was no Manny Sanders. Gabriel Davis leads the team in receiving yards, 5 for 85, 2 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs, only 7 targets, did score a touchdown, but basically no Manny Sanders means full-time Gabriel Davis. Gabriel Davis, to me, looks like another guy who is going to be a fantasy football league winner because he's just so good, right? Gabriel Davis is just really good, and it's insane. Isn't it just insane that we saw Manny Sanders play all these snaps when Gabriel Davis was sitting right there all year long?
Yeah, I mean, Davis was a reality playoff hero for Buffalo last season, and yeah, it is surprising. Over to Carolina here for a minute. I mean, I don't see any difference with their offense without Joe Brady. This looks like a train wreck to me. I know McCaffrey's a major part of what they do, but I'm less and less impressed with Carolina every day, Davis.
No, Matt Rhule, fake sharp, right? I think we can officially put Matt Rhule in the fake sharp category. And, you know, it was sort of interesting, though, to just see what happened with Carolina yesterday. You know, basically they had a punter, but they didn't have a kicker. Right. What does a team do with no kicker? I don't know. It was kind of fun to see a team just continually go for it on fourth down. And by the way, the 2 Panthers touchdowns were set up on drives where they didn't punt, right? Where they chose to go for it. They converted 1 touchdown on fourth down, and then the first touchdown was set up by like a 4th and 4 that was done inside the red zone. So I don't know. I mean, and look, we're gonna get into the fourth down and the 2-point conversion talk later because that's all the rage in the NFL these days. But I did at least think that part of it was fairly interesting.
Yeah, DJ Moore is not somebody that I played yesterday. He was on my bench. I'm going to have to make a decision between him and T. Higgins coming up in the next round. That's going to be a tough one for me because I don't really feel confident about either of them, honestly, going into next week, but we'll see. All right, coming up next, the Dallas Cowboys are not the team we thought they were, but they're winning. So does it really matter? I guess for us in fantasy, it does. But in reality, this looks like a different team heading into the regular season ending. And of course, we'll dive into more of the later games in fantasy and reality. Don't forget, coming up tonight, two games in the NFL. And Davis and I are going to help you out and play this slate. No Baker Mayfield and no Case Keenum for Cleveland tonight as Nick Mullins takes on the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today. Stay on the grid.
Break. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, and information, picks against the spread. You got to follow us there, and we'll give you all of our tips going into the weekend, inside info, and, of course, fantasy content from all of our hosts, all of our shows. That's at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Maybe make sure you head over there and follow us there today. Dallas Cowboys took on a team that really just didn't show much fight yet again on a Sunday. Why do I keep backing the Giants against the spread? I don't know. Someone needs to smack me for 2 weeks in a row for doing this. But yet the Giants had a chance to cover on the last play of the game 2 weeks in a row. Oh. Okay, take a deep breath. Dallas yesterday, Dak Prescott, 28 of 37, 217 passing yards and one touchdown. Very average. Ezekiel Elliott bailed you out with a touchdown. He had 52 rushing yards, three catches for 20 yards. Tony Pollard, 74 rushing yards, three receptions, 13 yards. CeeDee Lamb got 11 fantasy points, but the fantasy hero on Dallas, definitely Dalton Schultz. Eight catches, 67 yards, and one touchdown. And to the dismay of my friend Davis Maddock, Mike McCarthy, after the game, says, yes, the Cowboys have converted themselves ever so slightly to a defensive-minded team.
Well, I think there's a little more variables to that, but yeah, definitely. I think it's really what I'm looking for too. I mean, you got to be able to win, you know, from all three sides of this, you know, especially in December and moving forward. So the opportunity to be able to complement one another, you know, it was clearly coming out of last year. You know, we talked about this in the offseason that we clearly needed to be a better complementary football team. And I think as you look at the course of our year and, you know, just some of the trends that have, you know, going on, I understand what you're saying compared to earlier in the year to this year. But the fact that we've been able to do that, I think will serve us well moving forward.
All right, on the side of the Giants, Mike Glennon, hopefully this, I mean, no offense to Mike Glennon, but hopefully we do not have to see Mike Glennon start again. He was 13 of 24, 99 passing yards, three interceptions, and two of them were just brutal. I was happy to see Jake Fromm get in the game. He drove the team all the way down the field, almost for a score that would have backdoored the cover there. He had 82 passing yards. And then what's to say about the rest of this team? Devontae Booker, 74 rushing yards. Saquon Barkley, 50 rushing yards. Barkley's future, you know, clearly going to be tied to whoever comes in and helps that offense, because right now it's as bad as any team in the NFL. But Davis, Mike McCarthy, very happy running the ball, playing good defense. Eventually, I would think Dallas is going to have to put 30 up in a game to win a big one. But for right now, they're pretty content getting to the end of the season, winning their 11 games, and then, you know, letting the chips fall with their first-round playoff matchup.
This sucks. I mean, who wants to watch this? I guess McCarthy wants to watch it because he likes to win games and whatever, but who wants to watch this? These are the total yards gained by the Cowboys their last three games. 328, 323, 337. They gained 276 in that game against the Chiefs. They gained 290 yards in that game against the Broncos. I mean, that just, this is not what I signed up for. I did not sign up for Dak, you know, handing the ball off. I mean, the Cowboys, they did run the ball like crazy in this game, right? 12 rushes, 74 yards for Tony Pollard, 16 for 52, only 37 passing attempts for Dak, one passing touchdown. Dalton Schultz did have a good game. If you started CeeDee Gallup or Amari in your fantasy football playoffs, you certainly are. I'm feeling good, right? It's really, you know, the emergence of Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, you know, turning into one of the best coverage corners in the NFL. It really is absurd how good this Cowboys defense has become, considering that they were awful last year. I mean, the Cowboys defense, Craig, was stone cold terrible. They were just getting ran all over in every game last season. They remember the Giants game that Dak got hurt in. They were giving up like 35. I think they gave up 34 in that game to Eli Manning and the Giants, like it, or Daniel Jones and the Giants. Like, it was just this awful, awful unit. They're so good now. And Dak also does definitely look like he's banged up. Looks like to some degree he is playing through, you know, could be ankle, could be calf. It was calf, right? That was the injury that he had earlier in the year. Seems like he's still coming back from that. And, you know, I'd like to say that it's going to get better, but they play the Washington football team next week, who are awful and are seeing their playoff chances heavily diminish, as they're probably going to lose to the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow night. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then the Cardinals in week 17, maybe the Cardinals are the team that can force them back to, remember week one against the Buccaneers, 391 passing yards on over 50 attempts for Dak. That was what I thought I was signing up for.
Yeah, definitely not the case with Dallas. And with the Giants, man, there's got to be better things ahead for them. This was as bad as I've seen a team play on offense. Actually, they played this bad the week before, so maybe that's not the case. All right, so the false narrative that Jacksonville was going to come out and just stick it to the Texans for Urban Meyer. Yikes. Boy, was that not the case yesterday. Not at all. Houston really dominated Jacksonville from start to finish in this one. Davis Mills, 19 of 30, 209 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Rex Burkhead, we thought he was not going to play. At least that's what David Culley said. You're going to play the other guy. Remember, he didn't know his name, but Burkhead played in this one. He had 41 yards. Brandon Cooks had 7 receptions for 102 yards and a touchdown. Great game for him. Good season for him, all things considered. And Kaimi Fairbairn ended up kicking 3 field goals, including a 52-yarder. On the side of Jacksonville, not a ton happening. They went down pretty early, and then were chasing the rest of the game. Trevor Lawrence, 23 of 38 for 210 passing yards and just 21 rushing yards. James Robinson ended up coming through, and in a way I think that was fine. 75 rushing yards, 3 receptions, and a touchdown. Laquan Treadwell, 6 for 57. James O'Shaughnessy ended up getting 10 fantasy points if you used him in any format. But, you know, naturally, I was obviously disappointed. Used Jacksonville in our sports contests, in our wagering contests, and that was just a horrible choice, very clearly. I don't know what there is left to say. Jacksonville Davis is, you know, clearly in 2021 the worst team in the NFL. Houston is better than Jacksonville. Detroit is better than Jacksonville. And look, I mean, Urban Meyer, yes, largely responsible for a lot of the things that have gone on. But as we can see here, even yesterday, they're going to have to just wipe everything out, I think, in terms of coaching in the offseason.
I mean, they stink, right? Because we talked about this a lot. I think we did almost a full segment about this game. And I said, look, you know, a big part of what happens in NFL games is effort. But I think in our efforts to demonize Urban Meyer, we definitely, the popular media narrative definitely forgot that Daryl Bevel is also a loser, and his loser tendencies came out big time in this game. You know, field goal attempts from the 3-yard line, punting from midfield, lots and lots of rushing plays. Like, it just, you know, and to be clear, I don't want to be giving Trevor Lawrence any kind of a pass. I mean, because Davis Mills is in basically just as bad of a circumstance, maybe even worse than Trevor Lawrence is, and he showed up and done his job and completed passes. I mean, he has more touchdown passes in, I think, 4 fewer games than Trevor Lawrence. It's inexcusable how poorly 1 through 53 the Jaguars are playing and how poorly they are coached. You know, if you started James Robinson, good for you. You got the touchdown. If you started Laquan Treadwell, you got your 11 PPR points. But this team, I mean, they're just awful. They're just straight up, they're just awful.
Yeah, no, it's the worst team in the NFL. There's just really nothing else to say. And stupid pick by me yesterday to ride with that. It was a bad choice. All right, Green Bay and Baltimore, another game that comes right down to the wire and right down to the end, and then more controversy over going for 2. Naturally, that's been the story all season long with a lot of teams. Aaron Rodgers, 23 of 31, 268 passing yards, 11 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, creeping up on Tom Brady for NFL MVP. Aaron Jones scored. He had 58 rushing yards on the ground. A.J. Dillon scored as well, got about 10 fantasy points. Davante Adams, despite no Humphrey, despite no defensive backfield, only 6 for 44 and a touchdown. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had 5 receptions, 98 yards, and a touchdown. Aaron Jones, their running back after the game, said that the Packers offense seems to be clicking.
Definitely, you know, those guys on the other side get paid as well, and that's a good team. And we played a lot of good teams this year, a lot of close games, one possession games, but we always find a way to come out, and I think that's a test of a good team.
Does it feel like this offense is clicking right now?
Yes, in a way, yes. I feel like we're clicking. We still can get better, but I feel like we're starting to pick it up.
What ways do you think you can get better yet?
Just extending drives. Keeping A-Rod clean as possible, and if it's not a perfect game, you're not perfect. So there's always room for improvement.
And the Green Bay Packers are the NFC North champions after that game yesterday. Now, naturally, the Baltimore Ravens are the gift that keeps on giving as an underdog, Davis. Don't ever forget it. Take the points with the Ravens. They cover every time. It's incredible. Tyler Huntley is going to be a nice offseason conversation to see if he's back with Baltimore or starting somewhere else. This guy looks really good. 4 touchdowns yesterday, 2 rushing touchdowns. Latavius Murray, boy, the Ravens, I don't know what they're doing with their running game. 48 yards, 1 reception, 3 yards for him. Marquise Brown, look at this monster game for him. 10 catches in a PPR league plus the 43 yards. And then Mark Andrews was just all over the field. 10 catches for him, 136 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Naturally going for 2, did not go the way of the Ravens, but Andrews said after the game, there are no regrets.
I told Coach that I wouldn't have it any other way. I think people that second guess that are wrong. You know, I think that was the right thing to do. We're an aggressive team. We fought, we clawed. That was a good Packers team. And for us to be able to be right there, almost win it, that's the opportunity that you want. So I love the decision. And I think we're past that already. We're going to keep being aggressive.
Yeah, we obviously don't know, Davis, if they would have won against Pittsburgh. We don't know if they would have won against Green Bay. It does seem to be the right call to do what John Harbaugh is doing. And eventually those things are going to break in his way. But naturally, that's been a hot topic of conversation all season long is the going for two.
Been a very hot topic of conversation pretty much this entire season. In general, I am on board with those decisions. I thought yesterday maybe it was a little bit aggressive because there was so much time left on the clock. You prefer when there's no time left on the clock or like 10 seconds. That way, you know, it guarantees the win. But I'm certainly not going to bury him for going for two there.
Yeah. All right. Bengals and Broncos as we close it out. Very dull game. So we only need to spend a minute on this one. Burrow was 157 in the air with a touchdown. Joe Mixon left this game with an injury. His availability for this week in question. Tyler Boyd, 5 receptions, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Not much from Chase, not much from Higgins. Evan McPherson kicked 3 field goals. Denver Broncos went back to who we thought they were. Teddy Bridgewater, unfortunately, hurt in this game. And his availability for this week in question. Drew Locke came in, didn't play particularly well, threw a jump ball for a touchdown. Javonte Williams, 72 rushing yards, 4 receptions, just 9 yards. Not much from Melvin Gordon either. And Noah Fant, 5 receptions for 57 yards. Davis, I just hate the way that Denver plays. They not only ruin the players that you have on their team, they ruin the other team too.
Yep, they suck. Not fun to watch. Hope Melvin Gordon is playing on a different team next year. Hope they have a different quarterback. Hope they have a different head coach because it is depressing to see Cortland Sutton get paid $60 million and get 3 receptions a game.
Yeah, and Jerry Jeudy, not a single catch yesterday for the Denver Broncos. Just not going far in the NFL playing the way the Broncos do. And look, Cincinnati played their game and just basically beat them at it. Kind of sad. All right, coming up next, a touchdown from a defensive lineman, the way of the Miami Dolphins. We'll hear from Christian Wilkins on his big score yesterday. Stay on the grid.
Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Miami Dolphins were seeking alternate options for goal line availability. They found one yesterday in defensive lineman Christian Wilkins, who put together one of the best celebrations we've seen in the end zone this season. It included the wave, the worm, I don't even know, like five different things yesterday. He also dove into the stands, and Wilkins talked about his very impromptu celebration yesterday.
I was holding back, honestly. You ain't see me at a wedding or at a bar mitzvah or nothing like that. Then that's when the moves are on the full display. But it was definitely exciting. It was cool. I was happy I was able to make a play for my team. But yeah, I don't know how I squeezed all that in the 40 seconds or to however long the play clock was or whatever the heck, because I felt like I was going for a while. I enjoyed it. It was fun. Glad I can make a play for my team.
Marcel?
Hey, Christian, to stay on the celebration. How long have you been planning that choreograph out? And have you ever jumped into the stands like that before?
Nope, never did none of that. I just went with it. Just did whatever felt good in my soul. None of it was planned. I did mess up because the one thing I did have planned, if I scored today, I wanted to do the waddle. Obviously, Jalen didn't play today, so I wanted to give him some love. So sorry about that, Jay. I kind of went rogue with my celebrations. That was the only thing I had planned, but yeah.
Davis, it's not often we get to see a defensive lineman do the worm on the field after a game. But look, the Dolphins were pretty up against it, not having a lot of their players really ready to go in the game. But Wilkins came through for them yesterday.
Yep. Six straight for the Miami Dolphins. All they had to do was start giving our guy Patrick Laird some touches. Unfortunately, for me on that play, Myles Gaskin blocking on the Wilkins touchdown. That was not very happy for me personally.
Yeah, no, definitely an interesting dynamic with what's going on with the Miami Dolphins, the hottest team right now in the NFL, maybe heading to the 2021-2022 playoffs. We will see. Coming up next, we've got our headlines here at the top of the hour with Alex. We'll have our own, give you some preview of tonight's game. Stay on the grid. Don't go away. Break.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Every day.
You see a trend?